final presentation this morning is from Dr. Courtney Kilberg. She is a board certified in public health and general preventative medicine. She's a program director for the preventative medicine residency at Meharry Medical College in Nashville, Tennessee, where she received the Outstanding Faculty Award in 2013. Prior to this position, she worked as a primary care clinician in rural Tennessee, completing her preventative medicine residency at Meharry, and was inducted into Alpha Omega Alpha during her medical school at the University of Kentucky. So this morning she'll be speaking about children eating well for health. Thank you.
Hi, I'm here also to give an example of a specific collaboration that we work on in Nashville, and as you see, it's entitled Children Eating Well for Health. And it is, I'm going to focus on the nutrition education training partnership that we have. And I do have no relationships to disclose today. Our training partnership is with Meharry Medical College, which is my institution, as well as with Tennessee State University. And I do have to point out that this is definitely not my work alone. I want to thank Dr. Husseini, who is our main principal investigator at TSU, as well as two of the other co-PIs that are in the room today, Dr. Emerson and Dr. Levine. The overarching goal of our USDA-funded grant is to work on combating obesity, and I will not get into this in detail because I think you all know that we have a problem with obesity in the United States, and specifically in Tennessee, where we are working, as well as much of the rest of the Southeast. These are the adult rates of obesity, which we're pretty familiar with. Unfortunately, when you look to younger children in the 2 to 5 year old age range, which is the group that we are focusing on, participants in the WIC program or the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, in Tennessee, that population of 2 to 5 year olds has a 12 to 15% obesity rate, which is shocking because obesity in this young age group is defined as greater than the 95th percentile. So these are children that are way off the growth chart when it comes to their BMI, and we have up to 15% of them that meet that criteria, which is, excuse me, very sad. So the part of our work that I'm going to focus on today is the education component, and again, there are many other people that are working on this project that I'm bringing to you today. We are from the primary part of the education component is from Meharry Medical College, which I hope many of you are familiar with. But it was a college funded in 1876, and it was the first medical school in the South for African Americans, which makes it a very unique and special place to work. It is an academic health science center with a medical school, a dental school, public health school. And the primary mission is to both provide health care to underserved populations in the Nashville area, as well as to train providers that will go out and do the same, serving the underserved throughout the country. And Meharry's alumni, last time I looked, there were about 75% that did practice in underserved areas after they left medical school and went on to practice throughout the country. The history of Meharry is very interesting. It dates back to the 1820s when there was a white male driving a salt wagon on a very rainy, stormy day. He got his salt wagon in a ditch, and a newly freed former slave family risked their lives, risked their freedom to help him that night. And at that point in time, he did not have a way to repay them, but promised that he would repay them in some way. And 40 to 50 years later, when the predecessor to Meharry Medical College was being founded by the Methodist clergyman in Nashville, that Meharry family donated $30,000 in money and land to make the college happen. So it's a very, very interesting story, and really that kind of act of kindness, service to the underserved, is what still today you see at Meharry, and which is why a lot of our work, a lot of our research work relates to health disparities research and in serving communities that tend to be underserved. Specifically, the group that I work with is the Preventive Medicine Residency Training Program. We have been accredited since 1974. We are a two-year program now, and we train three new physicians each year. So a total of six residents are with us at any one time. We do partner with the occupational medicine training program, who are also training six physicians at a time, and we share core faculty, didactic sessions, a lot of resources. So when we are working on a project such as this, we're training both preventive medicine physicians as well as occupational medicine physicians. Our partnering institution for this grant work is Tennessee State University, which also has a very deep history. It is a public land grant university. It is the only state-funded historically black college or university in Tennessee. Tennessee State University offers undergraduate education as well as graduate and doctoral programs. They have eight different colleges and schools, as you see listed, and we specifically are working with the Agricultural, Human, and Natural Sciences College of the university. Within that College of Agricultural, there are five different Bachelor of Science degrees. And as you see, the family and consumer science degree, again, that's the more specifically who we are working with in our educational program. This is where many of the future dietitians are trained. The Tennessee State University College of Agricultural also supports pre-professional degrees. So some of the students that we train are in pre-medicine or pre-pharmacy, pre-dentistry type career paths. So going back to, that's kind of the history of the two schools, who the collaboration is between. Our education component of this grant specifically is designed to educate future and current medical providers or dietitians, people on the healthcare team, in ways to approach childhood obesity prevention. And so the way that we're doing that is we're trying to implement nutrition-related curriculum into their regular curriculum, with the hope being that that will be sustainable education even beyond the 5 years of this grant work. And we're training a wide variety of students. So everything from the undergraduates at Tennessee State University through practicing medical providers that are out in their community and need continuing medical education. So I'm going to go through just quickly some of the what we're doing at each of these different levels. So again, the undergraduates are at Tennessee State University, and I help teach them as well as I train my residents to teach them. So the residents are in a very unique position in that they are learning and they are also doing some of the teaching. And so that collaboration allows us to do didactic teaching sessions with the undergraduates as well as case studies where they get a much smaller group setting to interact with the residents and learn from them in a more kind of one-on-one basis. We have made the lectures that we've created for the undergraduates, we've made them publicly available. We do have a brand, so hopefully you're pleased to see that. I can't take credit for that myself, but we do have a CHU logo, we have a website, we have Facebook presence, Twitter messages that go out, so we are trying to brand that and share as much of the resources as we possibly can. If you're ever interested in the educational materials, you can go to the CHU education component of the website to be able to get to those. And so what we have done is we have taken different medical diagnoses and we're teaching the students the applicable nutrition education that goes with that real-world condition that they may see one day in a clinic or hospital setting. So we have nutrition considerations for high blood pressure, also for hyperlipidemia and cardiovascular disease, for diabetes, and then also one for bariatric surgery, which is very interesting because it gives them that perspective of how important behavior change and dietary change is both before something like a bariatric surgery and after. That bariatric surgery does not stand alone, that nutrition change is just absolutely necessary for that to be a successful procedure. For our case studies, you see here, we kind of try to touch on a lot of different medical conditions But the most important thing that I emphasize to my residents before they go and conduct the case studies is that we want the students to come away with a basic understanding of medical diagnoses. These are undergraduate students, so they're not medical students, they're not residents. But we want them to have a basic understanding of those diagnoses, and we really want them to have a very in-depth understanding of what nutrition recommendations are out there to prevent those conditions as well as to be able to treat them. Okay, so that was the undergraduate component of our collaboration. The medical student component of the collaboration is located at Meharry Medical College. So we have collaborated with our partners in the Department of Family Medicine. All third-year medical students have to rotate through a mandatory family medicine clerkship. And so we've been able to implement nutrition education into the didactic session that they receive there to incorporate that into some of their homework that they have through case studies. And we are using pre- and post-tests to assess the knowledge that they gain from this intervention, as well as what intention they have to practice and utilize that knowledge in the future. And so we found, when we've looked at these pre- and post-tests, that for coronary heart disease, we haven't had a huge impact, but thank goodness that's because our students were doing well on those questions in the pre-test, so they already had a good fundamental knowledge of coronary heart disease. When it comes to diabetes, we've had a significant impact in helping them to learn more about nutrition and related to diabetes. So that's been a very positive finding there for us. For hyperlipidemia, we have made some impact there and hopefully can tweak our teaching methods to improve that. And then when it comes to lifestyle modification, in the areas where they did not have good working knowledge before taking the initial pretest, we have made significant improvement. And in the other two areas of lifestyle modification, they already had a good working knowledge when they came to us. When it comes to intention to practice, so we wanted to see both that we were improving their knowledge, but also that we were making an impact on how they will ultimately practice one day. We have found that many of them were already interested in nutrition topics in that first row, so we didn't have a huge impact there. I would take that with a grain of salt because they know I'm the one teaching them about nutrition, so I think I get maybe inflated enthusiasm there on those pretests. But then when it comes to their comfort level, their personal knowledge, we have had a significant impact on how comfortable they feel with nutrition. And how comfortable they feel maybe providing advice about nutrition in the future. So that's a huge success that we've had there. And then again, the intention to implement, they already had a high intention to utilize nutrition knowledge in their practice, so we didn't expect to see a significant difference there. So that's the medical students. When it comes to practicing providers, we have been able to utilize an annual primary care update that offers continuing medical education and to put in different nutrition topics to be able to educate not just physicians but also physician assistants, nurse practitioners. We have a wide audience there for those continuing medical education conferences. In addition to the educational sessions that we conduct, we've also tried to put out some resources that can be used by people at Meharry and also throughout the country. And last night, I hope some of you were present when they released the book. We have an article in the book that was released by Johns Hopkins yesterday evening. We have also put together a nutrition and physical activity toolkit that can be accessed from the CHU website. We also did trumpet our own horn a little bit there for you, and it is listed as a success story by ASTHO. And we were able to get a secondary grant from the Tennessee Department of Health and a collaboration we have with them through the CDC-funded Tennessee Obesity Task Force to take our toolkit and do 10 different sessions across the state of Tennessee to educate practicing providers there on the resources that we were able to compile. So in summary, all of these different pieces of the puzzle for this collaboration on the education component of the CHU grant have led to, and you can kind of just look to the bottom line of each of those two sections, When it comes to medical students, residents, and practicing medical providers, we've interacted with almost 600 different individuals, and we've provided almost 2,500 hours of training. And then when it comes to our collaboration at Tennessee State University, and so the undergraduates that we're teaching, as well as the fellows involved in the project, we've encountered over 450 individuals and provided over 2,600 hours of person training time. And so that, in these first 4 years of the project, has we've been able to deliver over 5,000 hours of training on nutrition education as it relates to medical diagnoses. And I would be remiss if I let you all leave thinking that the education component is the only part of this collaboration. This is a very large collaboration that it also includes components through extension. And they are working right now to finalize a technical book that they have made with our partners in the community who own grocery stores that provide WIC foods. And so they are trying to teach the grocery store owners how to better provide healthy foods to their consumers. They are also utilizing what they call community health promoters, where they are training people from the community in nutrition, in healthy eating, in ways to best utilize their WIC resources to purchase healthy foods. And so then these lay health promoters are going out and interacting with their friends and who they can reach in the community. We also have a community advisory board, which again is part of this overarching collaboration. We have WIC participating mothers that come and give us input on our research, on our work. We do have representatives from state, county, and nonprofit public health institutions. We work closely with the Hispanic community through a group called the Progreso Community Center. And as I mentioned, we have representatives from the small business sector, specifically the grocers. And then the research component, again, we overlap to some extent, but they also are working on the development of a smartphone tool that can be used by WIC participating families to best utilize their vouchers to purchase healthy foods. So in conclusion, I hope that I've given you all some insight into how a College of Agriculture and a medical school and a lot of different public health institutions can work together and collaborate, really get our message out to a very diverse audience, with the hope that we will ultimately have some impact on the childhood obesity rates. Any questions?